What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Davidson Hang podcast, where I get to interview amazing people and help share their wisdom with the world. Let me know your takeaways and feel free to connect with the guests. I'm aiming to build a community around coaching, self-development, leadership, where people are not afraid to be their most authentic versions of themselves. You can find us on video by searching the Davidson Hang podcast on YouTube. Welcome and enjoy the ride. Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Davidson Hang podcast. And I have a pretty cool guest here. We met through the Asian Hustle Network. So shout out to the Asian Hustle Network for introducing me to some pretty amazing and really ambitious people. It's cool to see us Asians getting together. And really excited to introduce to you Nicholas Tan, who is the founder of Digital Contractor. And he also has a business called Agency Profits. And yeah, I'm excited to have you here.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And your post was really cool. I think like a lot of us are in our comfort zones. And I think a lot of us are even starting our own businesses now that this kind of the world is a little bit different now because of the pandemic. So we'd love to like dig a little bit deeper into like how you got started with everything. And yeah, I think you have a really fascinating story.
Thank you, man. Yeah. So I guess I'll kind of start from the beginning and then you can stop and ask questions as we need. But yeah, I guess for me, like this started a long, long time ago, way, way before, you know, everything was kind of moving towards the digital space. So to give you some context, while I was in university, I was running a house painting business. So like one of those franchises that, you know, you just make money during the summers and kind of pay your way through school. And for me, like getting a part-time job or anything like that, just it wasn't really an option because my parents were like, you need to, you know, go to university. You know, us Asian, actually, it's all the same, right?
Yeah.
So it's very much like, you know, when you're in school, you know, stay in school. So that's kind of my main reason for kind of working hard over the summers just to make sure I had money saved up to last me throughout the year. But during that time, it was tough because the only way I was able to get clients was through door-to-door marketing. So that meant I had to basically go knock on doors and get rejected like a bunch and then hope to God that like, you know, I get someone who's interested in house painting. So it just got to a point where like it didn't make sense for me to continue doing that. So that's when I first initially started looking into Facebook ads. And I started running my own Facebook ads and things like that and started experimenting with it, not on a big level or anything. You know, for me, it was just like, I need to get a couple more jobs and not door knocking anymore, right? That was all I was thinking about. And then fast forward a few years, I got pretty good at Facebook ads, just naturally doing it a lot. And then that's kind of where it ended. So after I graduated, you know, finished up my BCom, I was actually supposed to go to law school. So I had everything lined up to go to law school and basically do that for the next few years and become a corporate lawyer. And then kind of in transition, when I was like getting everything sorted out for that, I was working at a tech company. But then, you know, something just switched in my mind when I started like looking into law school more. And when I was working the job, it was just like brutal, right? Like 9 to 5 working up the corporate ladder. I was like, man, I don't see this being like good option for me. So that was when I was like, hard stop, decide to, you know, start an agency. And prior to this, I had tried to start a couple different things like in e-commerce, drop shipping and some affiliate marketing stuff that didn't work out. So I just knew I wanted to get into the online space somehow. And then that's when I started my marketing agency that was kind of the journey to getting to that point.
Yeah, it's interesting. So it seems like you've always had that entrepreneurial itch, you know, because I think most people, even door to door knocking on doors is like the worst, is like the scariest thing. I know for me, one of my summer jobs was selling Verizon Fios, like door to door. So that was brutal, you know, because half the time the people like couldn't even pass credit check, you know, it was brutal. But I feel like a lot of Asians, like we just like hustle all the time. It's probably because like our parents like hustled too, right? Just to get us here. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. Like, you know, with my family too, I was born in Malaysia and, you know, where I was born, like really small town. And it wasn't like anywhere like, you know, where I'm at now in Canada. And, you know, coming here, it was just like, my dad was always just like, yeah, I mean, like, you don't even know, right? Like going door to door is nothing compared to, true, you know, back home. Right. So
yeah,
it's just good motivation for me to not complain and just put my head down and work.
Yeah, I can relate. So I'm Vietnamese. So my mom came here like as a refugee, and like she told me stories. I'm like, yo, that sounds crazy. Like that sucks, you know. So, you know, when we complain about like, it's like all my friends have like the newest shoes and stuff when we're like little kids, like they're like, shut up, like you have no idea. And then, you know, for me, I was like, okay, but I never really got it until I was older, and I was like, oh damn, like they went through some crazy stuff to get here, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, man. It's absolutely insane. Like it's definitely not easy. So, you know, I'm sure our parents sacrificed a lot. So that's like, even to this day, it's massive, massive motivation for me to, you know, just always keep pushing harder. Cause you know, it's great opportunity for us, right? Like we're pretty lucky in that sense.
And I'm curious, like how you stay motivated all the time, because I think a lot of people have these ideas and they want to do things and they're like, oh, I want to become a YouTuber one day, or I want it. But then like a lot of people have these like pipe dreams, but I would say most people don't actually act upon it, or they try something for like a couple months and then it drops off. Like, how do you personally like plan for the future, and like how do you keep yourself like accountable?
Yeah, it's like it's definitely not easy, right? Like especially when I first started, I got lucky because me being in the contractor space, so you know, I knew like other contractors and remodelers who weren't quite painters, but they were kind of in the same industry. So I just happened to land my first client through my network, but getting my second client took me like 6 months. Right. Majority of people would give up in that time.
Yeah.
But I guess for me, what keeps me motivated is like, even just going door to door, right? You know, I'd much rather fail online 100 times than to go door to door again, because door to door was like literally the worst thing ever. but eventually, you know, you just need to like understand that part of running a business is kind of going through that pain, right? No pain, no gain kind of thing. So for me, I'm like, you know what? 2-3 months of pain is worth it to me, because I know like when it does start working, it will continue to work, right? And I mean, nowadays, like it's a little different because there's a lot of, it's a lot easier right now to get clients because one, with everything going on in the world, everything is just like moving towards the digital space anyways. But two, like there's a lot of people that paved the way. Kind of like 5 years ago when I first started my agency, there wasn't that many people that you see now who were like, you know, kind of showing you how to start online businesses and things like that. So
yeah, it seems like there's a lot of blueprints out there. There's a lot of like mentor people that have but things are always changing, right? So at the same time, you have to be adaptive and you have to be open to like new avenues, right? As things like TikTok and things start to come up, like you really have to be with the times, right? Like 1 year in the digital space is like a long time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And one thing like I'm really learning nowadays is really not to focus on tactics, right? So like one thing to be like, oh, I'm going to learn how to run a Facebook ad, right? But another thing to like understand the marketing strategy behind a Facebook ad, because a Facebook ad is easy, right? You just click a few buttons. If someone shows you what buttons to click, you can do that. What's hard about like marketing is understanding like your ideal client, right? So, you know, the type of client for like a dentist is going to be different than the type of client for like a roofer, right? Understanding the nuances between that, how to actually market to them, how to craft like copy, like ad copy that's going to actually resonate with them, right? If you understand those fundamentals, then you're not really learning tactics anymore. So it's not just like, oh, I'm going to run Facebook ads for clients to make a quick buck. It's like, oh, I'm actually going to understand marketing strategies that should be evergreen, because I should be able to take those, you know, kind of strategies and move it to TikTok or move it to YouTube or move it to Google, right? Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. I was one of my first jobs, I was working at Yelp, where we would sell like our most profitable clients were like contractors, roofing, dentists, doctors. Because like their ROI is so high, because a couple clients for them is like thousands of dollars. So they get like 10 clients, and it was like so worth the, you know, even like the $1,000 investment, because it'd be like a 10x, 20x return. So that was how I was like kind of introduced to like the world of advertising, because I used to work at Yelp.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, it's very similar, like in the you know, if you were to own a marketing agency, because yeah, that's all we're doing, right? It's we're talking numbers. It's like, unless it makes sense for them to invest $1,000, you know, they usually won't. But if it's like $1,000 and they get 10 back, well, you know, they'll pay that all day long.
Yeah. And then do you have like specific industries that you focus on, or is like, are certain industries like much more profitable than others? Like, or yeah, how do you go about like choosing what's your ideal like client?
So definitely to me, yes, I think a lot of people would disagree, but for example, I'm a big proponent of like just keeping things as simple as possible and like giving myself the best chance of success, right? So I know for a fact that if I was to go run, you know, ads for a restaurant versus ads for, let's say, roofing, if I was to run ads for a restaurant, you know, at $30 a meal, and I don't know what the margins are and things like that, it would be pretty hard pressed for me to be able to charge like $1,000, $2,000 a month and get them to invest into ads, right? Because I don't know. I'd have to sell a lot of $30 meals for them for that to make sense.
Yeah.
Roofing companies, polar opposite, right? One job is going to get them 10 to 15 grand, right? Let's say they're operating at 30, 40% margins. Well, you're looking at like 5K profit, and that's just off one job, right? So if you've gone 2, 3, 4, 5 jobs, then it's game changer. So yeah, so I tend to stick with like high ticket industries. High ticket in the sense like they charge their clients at least $1,000. That's kind of like the lowest I'll go. And this kind of includes like the longevity too, right? So the lifetime value of the customer. So for example, you know, a dentist, they might not collect all that money up front, but you know, over the course of like a year or 2 years, they're going to make quite a bit of money off just one client, right? So I tend to stick with high ticket industries.
Okay, so that is helpful. Yeah, Yelp was very similar, where like I love the dentist, you know, because like,
yeah,
you know, for them, like 10 clients, it's like so much over the lifetime value of a client. So that's helpful. Yeah. And I hated working with restaurants, like you said, because it was like, you would have to get like a ton of volume for it to even be worth like them spending even $500, you know? So,
yeah. Yeah. And really, like, I think a lot of people, they don't like, especially when you're first, you know, doing the agency, or, you know, you're trying to start an agency up, like you don't need that many clients to make a lot of money. If you do a good job for a handful of clients, you'll make like six figures, right? Because if you're charging $2,000 or $3,000 a month and you just focus really, really hard, and part of the reason like why I work in specific niches is for that reason, is because I know if I can get one roofer really good results, I'll be able to get five roofers really good results.
Yeah.
Right. So if I just stick within those industries, you know, I don't try to go out of my niche or things like that, I know I can get them really good results, which leads to longevity, right? I get to retain the clients. So client pays me $2,000 a month over the course of a year. That's like 24 grand. If you have four clients, that's 96K, right?
Yeah.
So you don't need that many clients to make a good amount of money in this space.
Yeah. And like you said, because things do change, like in terms of like, you know, Google SEO or Facebook or like all, like whatever the social media platform. So it sounds like you're more teaching like the big picture instead of like the little nuances, right? So that way the strategies are applicable no matter what the platform is, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like the fundamentals are all pretty much the same. So even think of like yourself, right? Going from Yelp and like all the similarities we're talking about right now, right? I'm sure Yelp has some sort of digital marketing package now that, you know, they've transitioned more so to like kind of like similar packages that an agency would offer. And I'm sure they're making that transition, but yeah, it's all about those like evergreen strategies, right? So a company like Yelp, I imagine that they had no issues kind of jumping onto like Facebook or Google compared to just what they normally do.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's interesting. And I think, so obviously in 2020, you know, more businesses are converting over to digital. Do you still get some pushback on like, oh, you know, we still do newspaper ads or we do like the yellow book and like, you know, cause I do know, I mean, I know for instance, like Angie's List, like, is that still big? You know, cause I know that was like a pretty big competitor, like when it came to contractors.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So Home Advisor, Angie's List, Thumbtack are still pretty big in this space. However, you know, kind of like how we position ourselves is we position it as getting exclusive leads and exclusive jobs, right? Problem with Angie's List, Home Advisor is those leads, they're doing the same thing. They're generating leads. The only thing they're doing though is putting a markup on it and selling it to like six or seven contractors, right? Whereas they can cut the costs plus, you know, they're not dealing with competition, right? If there's like six contractors that bought that lead, those contractors are already in a price war, right? If you're have exclusive leads, it's much easier. So it's just really about like how you offer it to your clients. What are the benefits? What makes sense for them? So a lot of time it, you know, maybe the smaller contracting businesses, it doesn't make sense to, you know, hire a marketing agency. And maybe it does make sense for them to go like Home Advisor, things like that. But for majority of the guys we work with, it doesn't really make sense to continue using them for that reason.
Gotcha. And are you still running up against marketing dollars on like old school stuff like radio or like even TV and like more of like the mass like marketing type of things, like instead of like the more like very exclusive, more targeted type of specific leads?
Every now and then, but majority of the time, not so much. Because we do a lot of education prior to that. So yeah, we're very transparent about like what numbers look like, what people can expect with ROIs and things like that. So by the time someone like hops on a call with us and you know they're inquiring about whether you know running in marketing campaigns online makes sense, they usually have a pretty good understanding of like the difference between putting it into online versus offline.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. And then I know with like any other a lot of it is like word of mouth as well, right? So, you know, like getting testimonials is important. Like is that something that you also highlight in your training, like as you build these blueprints?
Yeah, definitely. So social proof is fantastic, right? Specifically in people who know you. So like one of the things that works really well is like if you have a website, right, and you're getting organic traffic, or let's say you're running SEO to it. And one thing that works extremely well is putting a Facebook pixel on the website, which, you know, I'm sure, you know, if you've like gone online shopping and you click a pair of shoes, that pair of shoes ends up showing up everywhere, right? that's what a Facebook pixel does. So if someone goes to, you know, like a roofing website, the next thing they'll see when it comes to when they're scrolling their Facebook newsfeed is like a testimonial being like, hey, I saw you check out our website, but you didn't sign up for an estimate. Take a look at this testimonial, sign up for an estimate, if that makes sense, right? So yeah, a lot of times we'll do that. So yeah, we use testimonials. They just gotta be used in the right places. But yeah, social proof is great.
So do you also help them with like creating landing pages and all that as well? And then is there like a SEO / like pay-per-click component or AdWords component to it as well? Or is it just Facebook?
Yeah, so specifically for my agency, we do help with landing pages, but we don't do any SEO or Google anymore. We used to a lot. For my agency, it doesn't make sense because, you know, I keep a lean team on board. So, and then at the same time, because I'm so niche down and so specific with my service, it allows me to scale up more. Because instead of me always creating new campaigns, so I don't want to be, you know, building a website for a lawyer. I don't want to be running Google ads for, let's say, a solar company, and then running Facebook ads for a roofing company and doing SEO and all this stuff, right? Then it just becomes really complicated. And I'm going to have to hire a lot of people. Overhead becomes crazier, things like that. So the only thing we offer now is Facebook ads. And because we're so, like I said, we're so niche down and have that one service only, we've kind of productized it, right? Because it's really just copy and pasting campaigns at this point, because we know they're going to work.
Interesting. I know it seems like Instagram ads also have been pretty popular. Like, is that something that you see as like a trend as well? Because I'm not going to lie, like I've bought a lot of stuff through Instagram ads.
Yeah. So like for our age demographic, yeah. But for like the service, like contractor space, probably not so much. Right?
Yeah, they tend to be more on Facebook. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So yeah, Facebook would work better. For certain businesses, Instagram will make a lot more sense. But the nice thing is the platforms are exactly the same. So that's, you know, to put your ad on Instagram, it's a click of a button on the Facebook platform. So it's, yeah, so we do a little bit of both.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, it sounds like you really have, I think a lot of people want to create a product, but don't know where to start. It does seem like you've really put some time and it's like a proven methodology that has worked like consistently over time. Like how, I'm curious, like, because I think like a lot of companies, like what they do is they create like a white paper or they give free value first, right? They give like free resources first. And then there's like a higher ticket item for people who are actually like much more serious about like doing something with it. How do you like, I guess, like what are like some of your conversion rates for, you know, I guess like the free product versus like people that actually like will pay for like a quality product?
Yeah. So like, I guess like are you speaking in terms of like, programs and things like that out there?
Yeah. Just in general. Cause I do think like a strategy is like, you want to add value to the world and then that helps you build like that, like thought leadership. And then I know just in general, there's like a small percentage that will pay for like a much higher ticket item, but that's honestly like, that's where you make money, right? Versus like the free product, which is more just like getting visibility out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, if someone opts in for like a free product, majority of the time, we estimate 3% end up becoming like high ticket clients.
I mean, that's pretty good still. And then do you track it in like a MailChimp or like what CRM do you use?
Yeah. So, primarily for my CRM, we use ActiveCampaign.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we're in transition. So there's like a custom CRM we're trying to build right now. But yeah, for like the average, agency owner, like for, someone who's starting out, like ActiveCampaign has been really good for us because it's only like, I can't remember, it's like 10 or 15 bucks a month. It's not very much.
Yeah. And it's interesting, right? Because I think the more digital we get, the more like data driven we kind of have to be. And at some point it just becomes a numbers game, right? It's like, you know, yeah. You know how to crunch the numbers, like you're going to be successful, right? Just if you just have that much volume.
Yep. And I say that a lot. It's like, if you're going to get in this space, it's important that you're more analytical than emotional, right? Because, you know, especially if you're going to run ads, you have to like figure out where the bottlenecks are, if something's not working and there's, you know, you can read the data and determine where the bottlenecks are. Right. But if you act on emotion, you start changing things or you start turning things off and you end up just kind of screwing yourself over and probably losing more money in the long run, right? So important to understand, like, whether or not you're making money from ads, you're buying data, right? You're at the very least, you're learning what not to do if it's not working, right?
So it sounds like you A/B test a lot, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's all we do is that, and that's really the way to win ads is constant testing.
And then have you noticed, like, obviously the mobile shift, like everything's shifting over to mobile, right? So is mobile even more prevalent now? Every year it just becomes heavier on the mobile.
Yeah, 100%. I think like I can't remember off the top of my head. We looked at the numbers really recently, but I think majority of our traffic, I think like 90%+ of the traffic comes from mobile. So
wow.
Yeah, if you're not mobile optimized, you're like screwing yourself over really, really hard right now.
And then is Apple still winning more market share, or is it like pretty even, like, or is it mobile like friendly across like all platforms?
Yeah, like it's pretty mobile friendly. I will say though, for whatever reason, we've tested like traffic between driving it to Android versus driving it to Apple or iPhones, right? And those types of devices and split testing those. We see higher ROIs just driving it to people with iPhones, like especially for like high ticket items like roofing, right?
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, my theory around that is like people that own iPhones tend to maybe make more on average, I think.
Probably make more, probably not scared to spend, right? Like yeah. iPhones, you know, I just got an iPhone and it was not cheap. So, you know, they're not cheap products. So
yeah, that could be why, because like the average, like Android is typically cheaper than like the average like iPhone, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So it makes a lot of sense, but it's not something you would initially think, right? It's not like, yeah. Oh yeah, I'm just gonna drive ads to people with iPhones. Like a lot of people don't even know you could just run ads to people with iPhones.
So you can be that specific even within Facebook ads.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like you can even say, you know, iPhones, you can, you know, choose a type of iPhone, you can choose iPads, you can choose people with Apple Watches, like, you know, any sort of device, right? And you can exclude those too, right? So I can exclude Android, I can, you know, there's a lot of different things to test.
That's really cool. Yeah, I think it's an interesting time period right now, right? I think people who are like just open to, because everything you're saying makes sense, but I think for a lot of people, like people sometimes don't want to learn new skills, or they're not like willing to, like maybe they're just very comfortable in like a 9-to-5 job and they're like, well, I'm making like decent money, you know, like it's not like I'm broke, you know, but I think a lot of people are afraid to like just try something new, you know, because to your point, it does take like adaptability, and it does take, you know, you being like just open to even rejection, really, right? Because like ultimately, like not everything is gonna make it. There's gonna be a lot of like failures, like as you kind of like figure out like the process that works for you.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like it's, you know, I mean, starting any business is hard, right? Like it's a lot of sacrifice, time, money, effort. Like there's a lot that goes into a business, but obviously, you know, if you do good, then you reap the rewards, right? For me, it started off as like lifestyle. Like to tell you the truth, I just want to live abroad and like travel and be able to earn some extra money. And, you know, I obviously eventually I wanted to like make a lot of money and, you know, make sure I was financially secure and everything. But when I first started this, it was really just to like make more than I would in a 9-to-5, right? So like, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 grand and be able to live abroad. And then I never really anticipated it to get to where it's at now, but you know, obviously your goals kind of change as you go, but you know, it's okay to just start as a lifestyle or even a side hustle. You know, I work with a lot of agency owners who are just doing this as a side hustle and still making, you know, a decent amount of money every month. So.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, you don't have to be specific with like how much like you're making, but like, I guess a general ballpark, like what is the ceiling? And then maybe you can also talk about like what it was like in the beginning. So people have like more of a realistic expectation instead of like, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to make like this much.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, so from the beginning, it was really difficult. So my first client that I landed through my network was paying me $2,000 a month. And then it took me, you know, like 6 months to get my second client. And then at that point, I was like, I can't, like, there's no way I could just get one client every 6 months, right? It doesn't make sense. that point I was like, you know, doing about $4,000 a month, and I was like, screw it, I'm gonna like start purchasing courses and mentors and all this stuff. And that's when my growth really, like my growth trajectory really scaled up. So about 6 months after that, I started doing about 15 grand a month. And then a year later, I was about 50 grand a month. But kind of in between all that, I made some pretty like, I made some bad business decisions, as in like I started working with anyone and everyone, offering a bunch of different services, had to hire a bunch of people. So then that drained my profit margins. So then I had to strip back and like, you know, pull back and kind of simplify it to what it is today. But nowadays, yeah, we do anywhere from 60, 65 grand a month.
And then how many people do you have that that work like under you, and that like, I guess, is that after you're paying out everyone, like their salaries?
Yeah. So we operate around 80% margins now. And yeah, so I only have two other people helping me out.
That's awesome. I mean, those margins are like unheard of, like in pretty much any other industry, I feel like.
Right? Yeah. And I work a lot. So, you know, it obviously, yeah. And that's the reason why I can maintain margins, because I'm kind of picking up the slack that I could definitely hire out. So yeah, for me, I like the high margins. But you know, for others, it might make sense to outsource certain things and hire people to kind of help out. So yeah, for me, I like those high margins. But I think the average in the industry would probably be 60 to 70%. So even if I was to hire another person, it wouldn't eat into my margins crazy amounts.
I mean, if you think about it, though, that's still pretty high margins. Like, I don't know any other industry where the average margin is that high.
Yeah. Right? Like, it's service-based, right? Service-based businesses, you know, they tend to make pretty high margins because we don't have overhead, right? Before, I had to pay for an office when I had, like, more employees and things like that. But, like, now I don't need an office, right? Like, I can work from home. Everything's virtual. Right. Like, you know, there's no overhead. So most of my, yeah, that's why I'm able to kind of maintain, you know, such high margins.
So I know you like to travel. So this must be tough for you. How are you dealing with just like not being able to travel as much?
Yeah, man, I miss it so much. Cause while I was kind of like starting out my agency, for that first year and a half, I didn't really do much traveling at all. But then once things, you know, started stabilizing and everything, and when I kind of stripped everything back, that was when I realized, yeah, I could, you know, go live abroad and travel. So I lived in Asia for about 2 years, just kind of like bouncing around. So I lived in like Vietnam, Bali, Malaysia. So I actually went back. And then last year I was living in the UK for a year. And I was supposed to be back in Asia actually living full time. So I was actually just going to move out to Asia again and just, stay there. But obviously with the pandemic, that wasn't happening. So yeah, I friggin' miss it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I know like being an entrepreneur, like sometimes it can be lonely. I know you have like a couple people, like, but ultimately it's like up to you, right? How do you like, do you have like a lot of communities that you're a part of where you're like supporting each other and you kind of have someone to bounce ideas off of? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's actually a really, really valid point is running a business can get very lonely because you're kind of like in your own thoughts a lot of the time. You're obviously like just working alone all day if you're a startup, right? Like I was. But yeah, I mean, nowadays I purchase like masterminds, right? So, you know, I'll jump into masterminds where there's people in the same space or similar spaces and I can talk to them and ask questions and things like that. So yeah, that's how I kind of mingle.
And it sounds like, I mean, obviously not every purchase or mastermind purchase is as valuable, but some of them are obviously like, you know, a lot of X times X the ROI. How do you know like what's actually worth it based on just the initial, like, do you just have really good intuition or like, how do you read kind of like whether it's worth it, right? Because sometimes these are thousands of dollars investments, right, at a time.
Yeah. So, I've purchased programs and masterminds that were tens of thousands that didn't make my investment back whatsoever. And I've purchased into programs that were $1,000, $2,000 and made my investment back. And some programs I made infinite ROI and things like that. But I kind of look at it like a relationship in a way. Like if if you're dating a guy or girl and it doesn't work out with that guy or girl, doesn't mean you're going to stop dating for the rest of your life. Right. I kind of look at it the same. It's like, if I get into a program and it doesn't yield me an ROI, then, you know, I'm not going to stop, you know, trusting others or getting help or things like that. However, I will say like the biggest thing that I look for nowadays is the people in it. So like I try to see like if they're a good group of people that I can resonate with. And then whoever the owner is of the program, I want to be able to actually talk to them, right? So like, I don't like to join programs that just give you a bunch of videos and toss you in a Facebook group and call it a day. So I look for a lot of support in programs. Because if I wanted to do that, then I'd probably just, I don't know, I'd just go join a free Facebook group and then I'd probably watch some YouTube videos, right? So I look for that like either one-to-one support or something like that.
That's good advice. And it sounds like mentorship and having like the right people to follow their blueprint is key to a lot of your success. How does one know like who to follow? And because I mean, it sounds similar to like your relationship theory, but is ultimately not everything's going to work out. But how do you know like who you should take on under your wing and kind of like help them? And because time is precious. And when you should kind of like, it's like, all right, this is probably like not a good use of my time.
Yeah. Like for myself specifically I guess if I, like if I was to mentor someone, right. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So if I was to mentor someone, you know, like, basically it's commitment, right? Like I look at it as like a workout plan. So if I was to give you a workout plan, you need to go to the gym to get your abs, right? Well, if you don't go to the gym, I don't care if you have the best workout plan in the world, it's not going to happen. So I kind of look for like, you know, if someone's going to show up and, you know, where their head's at in terms of like commitment levels, because I don't want someone who like has shiny object syndrome, right? If you're going to commit to a business model, you have to go all in for it to happen. Whereas if you're, you know, everything that's like, there's so much stuff in the marketplace, right? Like there's e-commerce, there's affiliate marketing, network marketing, like all these different types of businesses you can start up. And it's like, if something's catching your attention every 2 minutes, you can't be in a place to start a business yet. You gotta find the business model that resonates with you and that you think is gonna work for your skill level, your experience, you know, whatever you're passionate about, things like that. And ultimately it has to match your goals too, right? Majority of the time, you know, if you're jumping into business, it's likely that you either want to make a bunch of money or make, you know, decent money while saving some time. So it's got to match like whatever lifestyle goals you want to hit too.
And I'm curious like why you didn't get into drop shipping, because I hear that can also be like a quite profitable industry as well.
I think it can be. The problem is you have to be so perfect for it to make it work. Okay. You need the perfect product, you need the perfect website, you need the perfect ad, you need like, and because the margins are so thin, right? Like it, like you're selling a $30 product, you might make 50% margins on it and you have ads to pay for. So by the time it's all said and done, you might only be making $5-$10 on a product. And that's if everything goes perfectly, right? So for me, it didn't make sense because I didn't have like that capital to test out a bunch of different products and kind of make it work. I needed something that was going to like yield me, you know, good money pretty quick.
No, that makes sense. Like to your original point about like the margins, right? It's a much higher margin. That's interesting. Well, yeah, thanks, Nick. This conversation's been really helpful. Like I've learned a lot from it personally. I think a lot of people will. I'll link to your website. Sounds like you have a lot of like thought leadership out there, a lot of product that people are interested in learning more. But yeah, I appreciate you just sharing your wisdom. Like, clearly you're doing a lot. You're helping the communities and you're helping a lot of other people get started and kind of follow in the, on the same footsteps as you are. So it's cool, man. It would be cool to see, like, even 5-10 years from now, to see how many lives like you help have changed, and then people who can also, like, people who also can travel the world and have like a pretty awesome life and not kind of be stuck to like that 9-to-5 grind. So I appreciate you sharing all this, man. You're very generous, yeah, with your knowledge for sure.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And what I'll do is I'll leave you with, my Facebook group and everything like that. I do like weekly trainings in there. It's all free. You know, there's a lot more content in there than most programs out there. So I'll leave you with that. So if you want to check it out, you're more than welcome to.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah. I didn't know too much about this stuff, but it sounds like easier than I thought. Like, I like what your point of keeping it simple, because the way you explained it, like, it makes it actually a lot easier than I thought it would be. I mean, I'm sure there's like a lot more to it, but it does seem doable, right? Like, anyone who's smart, who's committed, who's willing to be coachable, who's willing to kind of like test an A/B test and just willing to kind of try like a lot of different things to see what works best. Like, it does seem like it's doable. Like, you don't have to be like a genius to be able to do this. You know, you just have to be like adaptive, yeah, and open to trying new things.
Yeah. And it's simple on purpose, right? So, you know, I tried it the complicated way. I tried it like, you know, the traditional way, so to speak. And it just sucked. It just didn't make sense. So yeah, it's hard. Simple is hard, because simple is also boring too, right? So, you know, it's all about staying hyper-focused and really just making sure you just stick within your niche, stick within your service, and just keep doing that same thing over and over again, because you just do more of what works, right? So that's all we're doing at the end of the day.
Yeah, I like what you said about simple can be boring, right? Because I do think, you know, sometimes like simplicity is the best, like it's like the most obvious thing, but sometimes people are like, oh, like doing this every day, like let's just try something different. But if it works, like, why, you know, if it's not broken, why fix it, you know?
That's exactly it, man. That's exactly it.
Huh. Cool. Well, thanks, Nick. I'll be sure to link to your Facebook group, and yeah, really appreciate everything.
My pleasure, man. It's a pleasure being on here, so thank you for having me.
Well, that's it, folks. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe and let me know what your thoughts are. If there were any takeaways, I welcome all positive and constructive feedback, and hope you enjoy. Stay tuned for more interesting stories and guests. Take care.